Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. It's not often you hear banjos playing duets. The distinctive instrument is usually fronting a folk or a bluegrass band.
But when it comes to the music that Abigail Washburn and Bela Fleck performed together, there are no boundaries, no genres. Before the two began making music together, both professionally and personally, they both had solo careers of some note. Fleck is probably the better known of the two. He's been on the bluegrass and newgrass scene since the late 70s, playing with the band Newgrass Revival and Bela Fleck and the Flecktones.
Washburn is newer to the scene, but she plays an older style of music known as clawhammer banjo. And her first album, called Song of the Traveling Daughter, takes advantage of her fluency in Mandarin Chinese. The husband and wife team released a duo album last year called Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn. They'll undoubtedly perform songs from it when they play at the Pabst Theater Wednesday night. We reached them by phone just before they left on tour. Welcome to both of you.
Our pleasure. It's good to be here.
So good to be here. Thank you.
We are so looking forward to having you here in Milwaukee and hearing the banjos played in ways that I think so many people haven't heard, unless they've been fans of yours and have been listening to both of you and your different careers and now blended careers. When you first started playing together, was there some concern, perhaps, that you couldn't blend your two styles?
No, not on our part, anyway, because we knew that it worked. We had already done enough of it, just sitting around playing, hanging out at parties and picking parties, and playing for Abby's family at holidays, to know that it was a really appealing sound.
But I will say that the first time Bela and I played together, I did wonder what it would sound like to have clawhammer banjo playing and three-finger banjo playing together. I didn't know that it could sound good. Well, playing with Bela isn't exactly difficult. He's pretty good at the banjo. So when we start to play together, he just, he falls in beautifully with what I'm doing. And it really can sound like water, trickling water, flowing water, rippling water. It's a beautiful sound, the two styles of banjo playing together.
And the two instruments together, because yours is open-backed and it's somewhat of a softer sound.
Yeah, it is. Actually, Abby's got a really rich sound, and clawhammer players like to have big, fat, loose heads and fiber skin heads and thick necks. And
Not everybody, but a lot of people.
Yeah, it's popular. It's popular in that world. And my banjos are also particularly rich for bluegrass banjos. A lot of bluegrass people think I'm just like thudding around in the bottom. They don't understand why I don't crank up my head and move my hand near the bridge and get a bright, bright sound. So if anything, the problem we have is that we're both very dark. And so we have to find a way to have room for both sounds. And so we played around a lot with using different kinds of banjos to put ourselves in different ranges. But the truth is that every set of banjos, like our normal two banjos, sound really cool together in one way. And when I get on the lower banjos, or Abby gets on the lower banjos and one of us is higher, that's a cool sound also. So, I mean, there's a lot about it that's sort of untapped. And we can't think of any clawhammer three-finger duo that's existed. It's done more than a song or two as part of a record. That's what they did. So it's a lot of fun for us. It sounds like it ought to be a real natural pairing, and it is, but it really hasn't been done.
I was going to say, I think it's natural because of what you two bring to it, because you're both explorers and you're musically out there trying all kinds of new things. So it feels very natural listening to the two of you playing together.
Well, thanks. I mean, we're just trying to play good music and trying to figure out what each of us need to do to make it sound complete with just the two of us. And we're not trying to be a big band, but we can get a pretty full sound with just the two of us when we're covering different rhythms and soloing and bass lines and all that kind of stuff. We never are expecting it to suddenly turn into a rock band with two banjos, but it can be pretty powerful.
Dayland and an engineer that actually travels with us as well was in the studio with us when we were making the record, Richard Battaglia. And Bela and Richard would spend long, long periods of time, hours and hours, setting up microphones on a banjo and testing what it sounded like through the headphones to see how to capture what it feels like and what it sounds like to us when we play the banjo, what the sound of the banjo is to us, and trying to share that with people who hear the record and who hear us live. And so that it actually takes a lot of effort to try to translate that to a big room or to translate that through a sound recording. And we ended up often having four or five microphone, miking different parts of our banjos, trying to get this resonance from different parts. Like the resonance that comes from the neck is really different from the resonance that comes from the head of the banjo, and the lower part of the head is really different from the upper part of the head. And it can become an extreme technical sport to try to share that sound with everyone. But we felt so strongly that we want people to hear it, because a lot of people do have an impression of the banjo as being a bright,
tinny,
you know, sort of like a fly that's stuck in your kitchen and just won't leave. You know, that annoying sound.
Hence,
you know,
all the banjo jokes.
Right.
To us, playing banjo is very serious business. It's fun, but it's serious.
And we think it's beautiful. We think the sound of it is gorgeous, and that's partly because of the way we set up our banjos and the way we believe a banjo sounds beautiful. We want to share that with people.
Do you find it encouraging that so many people seem to be discovering the banjo now? It seems to be much more popular, even in folk circles, but outside of folk circles, that it's no longer a joke instrument. I mean, it probably hasn't been for a while, but I know what you mean about people thinking it, like you say, it's just that kind of annoying, buzzing, tinny sound. But I don't think a lot of people think of it that way anymore.
No, I think it's transformed from a bit of a joke to a very interesting aspect of American history. And when people see a banjo, they go, oh, that's cool, that's connected to the past, rather than, oh, you know, yee-haw, or thinking of the Deliverance film or the Hee-Haw television show or all the white stereotypes about the banjo. The truth is that the white southern part of the banjo's history is really one of the shorter parts of it. And there's a lot that went on before that, and there's a lot that's been going on since then. So because the banjo was in the early days of jazz, it was in Louis Armstrong's music, it had, you know, all of its time in Africa, all of its time with the slaves, bringing it here in the first place. So yeah, there's a lot to the story of the banjo.
Well, and I think people might look backward, but one of the things that you two seem to be doing is looking forward. And as we were talking about, expanding what's even possible and what people are even thinking about when they think about the banjo musically, what it can do. Basically, there are no parameters.
Well, I think the goal is some sort of artistic expression is the highest goal of a musician or an artist. And I think Abby does that really well. She's found a way to be herself and write her songs and sing her songs with her banjo and come up with a very pure, honest expression of herself through her music. I'm more of a technical player. I mean, I really enjoy the challenge of trying to figure out how to, you know, learn all the music that I listen to on the banjo. If I hear classical music, I want to learn it on the banjo, see how it sits on the banjo. If I play jazz, I want to play it on the banjo. If I play with Indian musicians or African musicians, I want to play it on my banjo because that's how I understand music, is through my banjo. But I am also looking for that artistic expression as I go through all of these processes, these TED trips about learning about music, which fascinates me, all these different aspects of it. I also want to do music that is moving and expresses who I am as a person as well. And so together, I think that's actually been the easy part of our duo is the expressing ourselves part. That's come pretty naturally.
So what's been the difficult part?
Trying to do everything with a baby.
Sure.
He's a toddler now. And this is, we adore him. I mean, we couldn't love a little creature more. But it certainly just changes the way we connect, and it's mostly because of time.
Time is the biggest hassle. It's finding time to do it. And sometimes we don't really get to play music together till we're just about to go on stage. And it's like, oh, hey, hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi, I know you.
How are you doing? You want to play?
And then we get to rediscover our music in front of an audience, especially when we've been off the road for a while.
Okay.
But when we're touring every night out on the tour bus with a baby, it's a different experience too. But we sort of get into the flow of that lifestyle too, which is very different.
Thank you.
Has he shown any interest in picking up any kind of instrument?
Oh, he loves. Yeah. He just loves the music. I mean, he loves to watch the show if it's early enough before his bedtime. He loves to come up on stage and play on our instruments while he's up there. And he knows that the little banjo on stage, the banjo ukulele, is actually his banjo. He knows that. He's called it Juno's banjo.
Right.
So, yesterday, he said Juno practiced Juno's banjo. And he went over and he picked up the little banjo and just sat on the couch and hit the head and plucked the strings. And he wanted to do it all by himself. And yeah, so I think he adores it. But he's full of wonder and joy for so many things. And
yeah, it's almost up there with marbles.
Not quite. Marbles and rocks definitely went out over banjo.
For now. Yeah. You might be a family trio come down the road a little bit.
We hope.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun. He also loves drums.
Yes, he does.
We have a friend who plays drums, who's given him a couple little lessons and sat him down with a kid, and he just loves that too. So he might not be a banjo player at all, but we could use a drummer. Kind of like a banjo without a neck.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. Yeah. You tune the head and you get the different sounds and you could have your traveling rhythm section. I think it would work.
Yeah.
With the two different styles, Bailey, you were talking about thinking of yourself more as a technical player and Abby maybe as, I don't know if this is the right word, but maybe more instinctual or intuitive. What have you learned from each other when you make music together? And what do you take away from each other's techniques and approaches to music?
Well, I think we both really respect and admire each other for the artists that we are. So that's a good starting point. And Bailey's really good at talking about collaboration and the whole idea that collaboration is most effective when people come out changed, meaning they don't always get their way. You have to yield to the desires of the other person and try something that you've never tried before, potentially, in order for collaboration to be really successful. And I agree with that completely. So Bailey's challenged me to try and play music that I never would have thought I would play.
Such as?
And it's wonderful for me. Oh, like the piece New South Africa on our record, or longer, more complex instrumental tunes.
My banjo.
Mm-hmm. I come from the instrumental world I come from is the old-time fiddling tradition where the banjo backs up the fiddle. And I've traveled in an all-girl string band, Uncle Earl, for almost 6 years playing that kind of banjo, and I was just backing up on simple fiddle tunes with an A and a B part, maybe a C part occasionally, and not even taking the melodies all the time, but just implying chords and playing pull-offs and hammer-ons to embellish the rhythm and the way the whole thing chugged along. So for me, the idea of becoming somebody who not only plays melodies, but plays even solos and plays on fairly complex 3-, 4-, 5 part tunes, that's a really different world for me. And Bill is a wonderful mentor and guide in terms of stepping into that world. I feel proud of myself, even though it's not something I ever thought I'd do, I feel great about it. And I feel great about it because it means I get to play with Bela. It's a way that I can try to step further into his world and be a part of what he does.
Sometimes you're writing a song or it's all done and I help arrange it and I say, hey, can you try moving your fingers here, and we'll come up with a bridge or an instrumental section that is out of your comfort zone, and you're always game. Mm-hmm. You're always game to try it. Sometimes I can see something from my perspective, the kind of banjo that I play, that Abby can't see, a simple different thing that she could do that might change the pattern or change the arrangement feel. And then on the flip side of it, I'm like the second banjo, usually. I'm not the first banjo. In other words, the songs are usually built around what Abby does and her banjo part, and then I got to get to be more of a soloist, or maybe I might be the bass player playing banjo bass, or I might be able to sort of feather in and out of it. And so I'm looking for ways to sort of paint on top of her structure. So I like to help her with that structure and make sure that I understand and really like everything that's happening in her part. And then I like to figure out how to be free on top of it and fulfill the goal of the song, which sometimes it gets to be a hot solo, but a lot of times it doesn't. A lot of times it's about finding the melodies and pretty interlacing parts that can go on top or beneath or whatever. But and her parts tend to stay more the same, except on the song that she solos on, and I tend to screw around with mine a little bit more.
I improvise. You tend to improvise a little more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the more we play, the more they sort of settle into places that, or I'm playing more and more of the same things, too, because I've tried a million things now. We've been doing this for a couple of years. I've tried a million ideas, and I start to come back to the ones that really work and get confident and play them with more intensity or more inevitability.
We've had trouble finding time, creating time, to write new material, which we're both really eager to do. And I think we're coming to grips with the fact that we just have to set aside real dedicated time to write, because right now we're kind of hoping it like fits in between tours or things like that, and it's very hard to pull that off when we're also trying to be real present with our son and our bodies. You know, you can get really worn out when you tour a lot and play a lot of shows. I can start to ignore my body, going, "Ooh, this part of me aches, this part of me aches." I go, "Oh, I'm too tired to deal with that." And I do that day after day, week after week, and then you realize, "Oh my gosh, I really need to stretch, or I really need to go for a walk, or you know, something like that." So right now we find ourselves on vacation, which is thrilling, and we both are starting to feel better to go for long walks, and we've done some yoga and things like that, and we get lots of time with our little boy. That all feels wonderful, but we just have to build in more time for the creative aspect
for the next phase of our
deal. The next phase, which we're trying to figure out what that is,
what the next step is. Well, whatever it's going to be is going to be musically interesting. I can't imagine that it won't be, and it'll be fun to hear what you come up with.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to seeing what it's going to come up with.
We have no idea.
We've got a few tantalizing tidbits that we're working on that's so promised, but they don't happen fast.
Mm-mm.
So we only get, you know, 45 minutes, and then we don't get back to it for a month.
Yeah. And we're really different in our creative process. I'm a real slow, slow is a great word for it. It's just like I ruminate. I steep for a very, very long time. You know, my tea bag would say steep for 3 to 6 months, and Bayla's would say steep for 3 to 5 minutes. You know?
Yeah, I'm looking for a quick solution to get it on stage. Mm-hmm. But
it works well together. It's just different angles.
Well, it goes back to what you were talking about, the collaboration, the true collaboration, where you sometimes have to give in to the other and see
up. And we both do that. In fact, making the record we were giving in to the if we hadn't decided to make a record and put it out and hadn't booked tour dates, and it put the pressure of, wow, we have to get this done into the equation, and it forced us to take the time we needed to do to complete the songs, to complete the arrangements, get it recorded, get it mixed, and get it out there. Because if we went with the pace of what was going on as trying to be parents and be with our new baby, we would not have gotten it done.
Mm-mm.
We'd still be sitting around. So
sure.
And I've noticed, knowing Abby for a long time, she does work well on deadline. When at the very last minute, she'll pull a rabbit out of a hat over and over again, where I like to get ready way, way early. I don't like the pressure of the deadline. But I also do good work under deadline situations, so it all works out.
So when you're here in a few days here in Milwaukee, do you have an idea of what the stage show is yet, or is that still kind of evolving?
Well, we've been doing a lot of shows this summer, and we've got a groove that we're in. We have a set list, basic set list that we work from, and each day we look at it and we make some alterations. But unless we get a couple of things, you know, completed, we might have a new song or two to do this time. But if not, you know, we haven't played Milwaukee with this set, and we're looking forward to doing it.
I'm really looking forward to it. And it's going to be one of our very first shows of fall. So we're going to come in with some fresh energy. Watch out.
We're thinking of putting a bed on stage so one of us can take a nap while the other one does their solo.
Perfect. We'll all understand. The audiences here are very, very understanding that way.
So. That's why we're coming there.
Yeah.
But I have played that theater a number of times with the Flecktones, with Chick Corea, and it's a beautiful theater, and I'm really excited about playing there, seeing Abby there.
Yeah. You know, a fun little fact about Milwaukee is when I was very super pregnant and flying back from I don't know where, but I hadn't seen Bela in a while, and he had a show with Chick Corea in downtown Milwaukee. And I was noticing, I was headed back to Nashville, and I had a layover at Midway in Chicago. And as we were landing, I thought to myself, gosh, this isn't that far from Milwaukee. Isn't that where Bela is? And I just ditched my bags. I got a rental car and drove up to Milwaukee and surprised Bela. And that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That's the last time we were in Milwaukee, and I have such a fond memory of that.
Well, hopefully it will be just as fun this time in a different way.
Oh, yeah. I have the toddler to lead us all around town looking for playgrounds.
I cannot thank you both enough for taking some time during your vacation to talk with us. We are so looking forward to having you back, Bela, and Abigail, to welcoming you to Milwaukee and to the Pabst Theater.
Well, thanks for spreading the word about the show. We do have an awesome time at these gigs that we goof around a lot and get the audience singing, and we show the different sides of the banjo. And we usually have about 8 banjos on stage, all different sizes. We do some stuff that's very acoustic. Sometimes we go out into the hall without microphones and do a song. So we'll have a great time, and we're looking forward to doing it.
Yeah, very much so. Thanks for having us on the show, Bonnie.
The banjo duet of husband and wife Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn will play a show at the Pabst Theater on Wednesday evening. We reached them by phone just before they left on tour. There's more information at WUWM.com.